Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. I've got Venerable Tom Dorian here.
Hello.
Along with Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
The Stardust. And so we're super excited to be talking today. We're gonna talk about talking any day. Yeah, exactly. We like talking. Yeah. Any excuse to come together and talk.
Exactly.
It's always a lot of fun.
Cup of coffee, big donuts.
Well, the Holy Father keeps doing these incredible meetings, and I don't know. I think every Holy Father of the last probably 100 years. I don't know the data, but it just seems like the popes are talking all the time. They really have a lot of engagements when they're in the Vatican. Right, it seems like every day they're addressing a new major group, and they just have these little, like, 3 to 5 minute things that they say to each one of these groups, and we've been using those as show material. And and until Pope Leo came along, I really hadn't really paid attention to a lot of that. And so now I check. You just go to Vatican.va, the Vatican website, and when you go there, is a big giant picture of Pope Leo. And then there'll be a little button right below him. He's kind of waving at you. It's his personal wave at you, the viewer. And below him is a little button that says Magisterium. And when you click on Magisterium, it shows you, it instantly takes you to a page that has all of his talks, his homilies, his addresses, anything that he promulgates, anything that comes out of his mouth, basically. There's a copy of it, an official copy, that's on this site, and you can go, and it's by date. And so you can see and look and see, what did he say yesterday? What did he say the day before?
Did Pope Francis have that?
They all do. I don't think Pope Francis had the button that says Magisterium, but all of his talks are published.
Yeah. But it's great, too, because we live in this era where you see, especially on social media, quotes where you're like, is that real or not? Like, we're...
And go verify.
We can actually go verify things.
There is confirmed an AI Pope Leo. there is a version of Pope Leo that is artificial intelligence, because I've seen it. It's like I call it, 11 finger Leo, but it's like there are versions of what he says, and it's like, and they get forwarded by people all the time. It's like, okay, guys, seriously, he didn't say that.
Right.
He didn't say go buy Bitcoin.
That's scary.
Right. He didn't tell you to do that. So
that's scary. You're all laughing, but it's really scary.
Well, it is. We did a show on AI. We talked about it. Yeah. And all I can deal, impending doom, the best way to deal with it is with laughter.
Yeah.
So that's the way I deal with things that are really scary. So we need to be cautious of that. But the Vatican website has all of his messages, and he just addressed a group. And I never know these groups exist, but they do, because this is like there's a thing called Message of the Holy Father for the Fifth World Day for Grandparents and the Elderly. But this is the fifth day, fifth World Day. Okay, so I didn't know there was a fourth, third, second, or first. Mm-hmm. And I guess they're
probably find out a bit on the website.
Maybe they started with Pope Francis 5 years ago. I don't mm-hmm. know that. Maybe I could go and look that up. But I read this little brief. The thing that this address, and this is the 26th of June, when he...
Or July. 27th.
Well, yeah, that's a misprint because we haven't gotten there yet. But if you look at the bottom of the little promulgation, it says Vatican,
that's true.
26th June. Yes. So this is a prophecy, I think. No, because this is a typo, okay? Hopefully that's the only typo.
Well, there is a reference to you should also buy Bitcoin.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So that could be a typo.
Indulgence
attached. Are you sure this isn't from 11 Finger Leo?
This is real. I promise you it's real.
Okay.
You know you can tell by its fruits. If we read this, we're going to read a little bit of it, and we're going to find out, like, this is good stuff.
Let's do that.
And he starts, dear brothers and sisters, but he starts referencing the current Jubilee, which is the Jubilee of Hope. Right, 2425 or 25 year 2025 is the Jubilee of Hope, and then he starts talking about basically. He's talking mostly, I think, to grandparents and the elderly, but really it's all about the elderly and care of the elderly and the value of the elderly. And there's some really powerful points in here. He talks about, goes back to sacred scripture and talks about the examples of men and women whom the Lord called late in life to play a part in a saving plan. He talks about Abraham and Sarah, right? He talks about Zechariah. He talks about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is the guy that came up to Jesus and asked him, like, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and to be born? And, you know, and it's like, that's just it's commentary on the fact that late in life, you can be reborn. I mean, you are still vital in your later years, mm-hmm. right? And that's the message in all of these things. And he goes on to talk about Moses, and that Moses was essentially put into play when he was 80 years old. Mm-hmm. Hey, lead my people, you know? And it's like, this is, you should be sitting in a Lazy Boy, right? You should be watching reruns of Bonanza on TV. You know, there's a Bonanza channel, I'm sure, somewhere.
And in ancient Egypt, there was.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And so, you know, the whole, although that wacky Ramses family, you know, there's a sitcom that they were watching. But the thing is, you know, he's basically done with life. And yet the Lord says, hey, no, you're not done. And so you got a lot more.
Get this little project over here.
Yeah. I want you to get lead these stiff-necked people for me, you know?
Well, I think his example also by including Zechariah, we remember that Zechariah was struck dumb precisely because he didn't believe that, you know, God would be able to fulfill his word to him. He was too old to have children with his wife.
Right. And so little faith.
Yeah,
right?
He was struck dumb. I mean, he suffered punishment for that. And God was saying, no, absolutely, we're not done.
You know? Yeah, Abram and Sarah were the same way. They didn't think that they could have a child.
Right.
And so they went their own way and kind of figured out, you know, Sarah's maid and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, there were problems there that the Lord was like, Abram.
Didn't trust
me. You know, you got to trust me.
Well, I think if I remember correctly, that even at one point, Sarah laughs, and the Lord calls her out for laughing, and she's like, I didn't laugh. He's like, yes, you did.
I know your heart, right? And he makes, so in all of those references, Pope Leo makes this statement. He says, God thus teaches us that in his eyes, old age is a time of blessing and grace, and that the elderly are for him the first witnesses of hope. And he's tying it to this jubilee of hope. And it's like, yeah, they're witnesses to hope. Why are they witnesses to hope? Because they've lived it, right? They've lived in hope, right? And instead of, like, it's hard to have hope if you don't have age. It's hard to have hope if you don't have history, if you're not tied to the past. And that's why we as a Catholic Church have to understand the benefit and the grace of our tradition and of our 2,000-year history, and then going even deeper into Jewish history, and understanding that this is a God that loves us forever, has made a covenant with us, and now we're in this eternal or everlasting covenant with Jesus that it's not going to break. He's not going to end that. That's never going to end, that we can always have hope. And the Holy Father says in this thing, he says, the increasing number of elderly people is a sign of the times that we are called to discern in order to interpret properly this moment in history. And what he's pointing out there is our population is getting older because we're having fewer kids, right? Marriage is struggling. The population is necessarily getting older. So that's why we need to have keep having more kids, because we're having an elderly population. So we need to stop and think about this stuff. And he wants us to see hope in our elderly, right? And he's saying this to folks there that are old, but he's also saying there's young people there as well. But there's a beautiful statement he says about midway through this document. He says, if it is true that the weakness of the elderly needs the strength of the young, it is equally true that the inexperience of the young needs the witness of the elderly in order to build the future with wisdom. And that's powerful, because we all know that, like, old people need young people to help them. And we all know that. We've done that. We've provided that for older people in our lives. Some of us have dealt with parents, aging parents. And the reality is, what we sometimes forget, that we see them as a burden on our society. We see them as, like, well, I got to take care of dad, or I got to take care of mom, and I have my life to live. I've got all these things, and I've got these kids, and I've got these obligations. We've got this mortgage, and we've got the dog, and we've got all these things that all the noises, all the things that we're doing in life. And then on top of that, I've got the burden of my parents, mm-hmm. right? And they're not supposed to be that burden. So that's why we tend to want to put them in a home. We want to tend to have them go somewhere, mm-hmm. right? And the Holy Father wants us to see that we actually need the wisdom of our parents. We need the experience of their hope. We need the longevity of our parents to help deal and plan for the future, to plan this future with wisdom. Mm-hmm. Right, and that's something that I think we lose the value of the elderly. We see only the burden, and we don't realize that there's actually a symbiotic relationship there, mm-hmm. that we would feed off of the elderly as much as they feed off of us. And I don't mean that like in a leechy way. I mean that in a way where we are a benefit to them, they are a benefit to us. And as I'm 63 years old, I'm in this transitional point where I'm getting ready to be a burden. Mm-hmm. You know, this is why, I am taking care of my kids really well. You know, and I'm really trying to make sure they know how much I love them.
You're buttering them up.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it that way, but I will say, just trying to feather the nest
there
a little
you
bit. You know, make sure it's a soft landing. But then he goes on, and the rest of this document, he's talking about. What a jubilee is, right? A jubilee year. And he talks from biblical times, the jubilee has been understood as a time of liberation. Slaves were freed, debts were forgiven, and land was returned to its original owners. This is a part of that, the Hebrew celebration of jubilee. And they would actually literally let people free of debts. And there was, I don't know how much they did it or to what degree or whatever.
Every 50 years, yeah.
But yes, I don't know how much they did, like how much they liberated. They said, like, there's no debts.
Yeah.
You know, I think they probably had it tempered just a little bit, but at the same time, it was a time of liberation and freedom, right? And so there was
like
this
connection.
Like a new
slate, a giant new slate.
Exactly. And so that's why he's saying, looking at the elderly in the spirit of this jubilee, we are called to help them experience liberation, especially from loneliness and abandonment. Mm-hmm. And that's a powerful thing. And you stop and think about, like, you know, what it must be like. Right, and it may be more convenient for us to park them in a chair and put on, you know, television and say, "Here, watch TV," mm-hmm. and then it's like, you know, but then you stop and think, like, well, they need us, they need the activity, they need the life that we have, but we also need to, like, I'll just say, some data mining. We need to be mining them for these pearls of wisdom. Even in the midst of decay, even in the midst of dementia, even in the midst of foggy memory, it's amazing how things, the Holy Spirit, just things bubble up in something that's said or done, something that may even be muscle memory for, you know, a parent or a grandparent who is basically, I'll just say, gone, you know, from the everyday activities because mentally they've decayed to a certain amount. That they're not really what you would consider an active member of society. And you might think, well, you know, dementia has taken my mom, dementia has taken my dad, or whatever. But the reality is, there are beautiful moments that happen. I don't know about what you guys have experienced, but in my own life, my mom and dad divorced after 25 years of marriage, which was kind of sad, certainly, and especially in hindsight as I look at that. But my dad remarried and has been happily remarried. To a nice lady, and my mom came to live with me in the last couple of years of her life, and that was really hard. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to tell you, it was really hard. But then I don't think I would trade that experience for anything. I really don't, because there was just something profound and spiritual that happened in her passing and me being present in her passing. And I think I've talked about it before on this show, but just the idea, there was an actual physical release of weight and pain and anguish and grief just lifted off of my shoulders when she took her last breath, and I was there and heard that last breath.
There's a comedian that has something like that. He talks about how he said that he had the exact same experience with his father. His father died in his arms, and he talked about the tragedy of it, but he also talked about how spiritually uplifting it was. This is a comedian. It's part of his whole shtick.
Wow.
It's fascinating. So, yeah, no, I think we're missing out.
No, it's real. It's definitely real. Now, we don't always get that opportunity, but the thing is, we should try to make that opportunity happen when we want to be close to our parents, right? We want to stay close. And now my dad is struggling. He's got severe dementia. And the thing is, everyone's like, oh, I'm so sorry. And it's like, yeah, I am too. But the reality is, I'm able to deal with that. And I'm going to just be honest with you. This is the first time in my ministerial life where I've really come to terms with the term ministry of presence. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally just need to be present. And when you're present, I mean, we have the same conversation about the traffic that he can see out the back on his porch, that he can see on the busy road behind him. And he will say 10 times while I'm sitting there, man, there's a lot of traffic on that road. Where are they all going? You know, he remarks about that as if it's brand new to him every time. And the thing is, that frustrates some people. Mm-hmm. And he said, Dad, you just told me that. You know, I don't ever do that. I'm just there. I'm just present. I'm mm-hmm. just present to him. And at that moment, so every moment is a new moment.
Right.
And so it's like, this is what I think the Holy Father is telling us, that somehow, and there have been like little pearls, little moments where I feel like something was spirit-led or spirit-enhanced, I'll say it that way, when I'm dealing with my dad. And I just think some of this is like, and it's teaching me. It's teaching me to
slow down.
Yeah, slow down and just be present.
Right.
And not think that every visit with my dad is supposed to accomplish something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Not to set these goals like, or to even think I'm supposed to reverse some trend. Because this neurologist says it's not reversing. It's right. just going to worsen. And so it's like, you've got these moments. Take the moments that you have mm-hmm. and then be in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that, like, you know, that I've taken to heart. And it's an experience that I'm learning from, and that's affecting me profoundly. But at the same time, the Holy Father, going back to his document, he makes this as a call to the church universal, where he says a change of pace is needed that would be readily seen in an assumption of responsibility on the part of the whole church. He's talking about parishes. He's talking about families. He says, become a protagonist in a revolution of gratitude and care to be brought about by the regular visits to the elderly, the creation of networks of support and prayer for them and with them, and the forging of relationships that can restore hope and dignity to those who feel forgotten. You know, that this is a mission we should all be on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it happens in our families, in our direct relationships. And then sometimes I think it needs to happen in our extended families, our parish families, and being involved. And maybe if you're not experiencing personally this tragic sort of loneliness and loss, and maybe some of it's a physical loss of memory, you know, then seek those who are and be in a ministry of presence with those people. I don't know what everyone can do and how they do it, but Pope Leo actually mentions in this document, he mentions Pope Francis's, something he wrote in his final hospital stay.
Hmm.
Well, we all kind of thought things were pretty serious, but we thought, well, he's kind of getting a little better. He did a little writing, and Pope Francis wrote, "Our bodies are weak, but even so, nothing can prevent us from loving, praying, giving ourselves, being there for one another in faith as shining signs of hope." And then Pope Leo kind of summarized, "We possess a freedom that no difficulty can rob us of. It is the freedom to love and to pray. Everyone always can love and pray." And I think they're directing this to the elderly who might feel weak and helpless. But it's also us. When we feel helpless in ways to deal with the challenges that come with growing old, you know, those real physical, taxing mental, financial, health-related challenges that happen as people age, and the burdens that those tend to put on people, we can always love and pray.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to love and pray for them, and they can always love and pray for us. So even in a hospital bed, how many times have we heard situations where people are in some kind of coma, and then they come out of the coma and they say, I was like conscious the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
I could hear you all talking. So just this idea of knowing that loving and praying is always possible, even in a state of maybe just paralysis or just in like looking like they're the undead, you know, and that they don't have any kind of brain activity or whatever. And you think that we don't know the mysteries of life and death to the degree we understand what a person can and can't do in any state.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's an opportunity for us now at this moment as you're hearing these words, to say, I need to stop and I need to love and I need to pray. Mm-hmm. And especially for those most vulnerable. Mm-hmm. These older folks that we've tended to forget.
Well, and Pope Leo also makes mention in this address that you can get an indulgence, a Jubilee year indulgence during this Jubilee year for spending an appropriate amount of time in a visit with
that's right.
Those who are poor.
Yeah. And that came from Pope Francis.
Elderly, I mean.
It yes. came from Pope Francis. That's something that it's in the Handbook of Indulgences or added that specific intention there because Pope Francis saw all this. And so Pope Leo's like, hey, yeah, we're keeping that going.
And I think, if some of us in Radio Land, if you don't know of somebody that you could visit, like, one question to ask yourself is there a nursing home or a care facility that cares for retired priests of your diocese? Like,
yep.
Even if you have never met these particular priests, paying a visit to them and showing them love and honoring them.
Taking them banana pudding.
There you go.
And that's a real example. My wife, we used to do that because we would take it to our priest retirement home.
Oh, okay.
And there were a lot of guys that, really liked that.
Yeah.
And it just brightens their day.
Who doesn't like banana pudding?
Well, exactly.
Well, because in that instance, I mean, even if they're perfect strangers, whether you realize it or not, they are a father to you by being a
yes.
priest of this diocese, and you are visiting a father, you know? And so I think embracing that intersection between church domestic and church universal and allowing themselves to exercise that fatherhood over you and visiting them in that state, I think
Amen.
That's a heightened way to celebrate this Jubilee as well.
You know, Pope Leo concludes this document, this little talk he gave, with this profound call. And he's speaking to the elderly here, right? He's talking to the old folks themselves. And he says, let us lovingly pass on the faith we have lived for so many years in our families and in our daily encounter with others. And when I thought about that, I thought, man, this is profound. Because if there's anything that's needed in this world right now, our young people desperately need the witness of hope. They need the witness of faith. And we've lost that. We have lost our way as a society. So people younger than me, which is a lot of people, are struggling to have faith. There's a practical atheism that's out there that's rampant. You can see it all over the interwebs. It's awful. It is awful what people don't believe. And so this is why this is another connection that's made with our elderly, because they have lived lives of faith. And everyone always says, man, if we can go back to the good old days. The good old days are actually here. They're still alive. They're in nursing homes. They're in our homes. Sometimes they're lost and forgotten. We need to rediscover these people because they are living witnesses to hope. And we need to find out about faith, what it's like to live in faith. Some of these people went through things like the Vietnam War, and some as far back as World War II in these times of great trial, and then how did they live through that? Mm-hmm. And our young people today really have not experienced anything like that. And I'm not saying that they're a bunch of knuckleheads and know-nothings. They're not. But this is why this living history that's among us right now is so vital and so important, but especially when it comes to faith. When we are literally called to love God by loving others. And we are not loving others if we abandon our older folks, if we don't take the responsibilities that we do as children to our parents as they age, and to be a witness. I've had a couple of my kids say something to me, kind of quietly and off to the side about when I brought my mom. Now, my wife suggested this, so I did not say, honey, we need to have my mom come live with us. I didn't say that. She actually suggested it. Hi, Bess. And we brought her in, and it affected my kids because they've said, like, Dad, we saw what you did with mom and how hard that was. I rearranged my whole life. I gave up everything that I had to do at night. I had to stop teaching RCIA. I stopped going to church meetings and doing all the things I would normally do at night. And I was there at home accompanying my mom in the last year and a half of her life and being present to her.
You know what's cool about that is Pope Leo's, and I know what he's doing. He's preaching to the elderly in this, but he's actually preaching to all of us.
100%.
You know what I mean? And that love is kind of bouncing off each other up and down. And here you are talking about your kids witnessing that. That's what Pope Leo's trying to accomplish with this. That's beautiful.
I agree with that 100%.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, these words are really not for the elderly. They're for really those
He's also so consistent with all his other messages prior to this, you know, talking about AI and what AI could potentially do to us, how it could destroy us. But he always goes back to family. I think he's awesome.
I don't want to knock any previous popes, but I was just going to use the word father. It's like I'm really profoundly seeing the title Holy Father here, and where he is literally a father, not just to 1.4 billion Catholics, but essentially to the entire world. He really cares about us like a dad.
Yeah.
In the model of God the Father, and I really think that we need to be listening to these words. And so, go to Vatican.va, click on the Magisterium button, and start reading what your dad is telling you. Mm-hmm. And there's some amazing truths to be had here. And then if your parents are still alive, if your mom, if your dad, still alive right now, just go give them a big hug and stay close to them. Help them with the things that they need. Stop expecting things from them other than witnessing to hope and to faith. Glean from them the wisdom that you can while you can. And if your parents aren't living, then find some parents that are, you know, and let them be spiritual parents to you and just start to realize that there's something beautiful and symbiotic in this elderly versus youngsters, you know, the youths of the world. It's a beautiful thing to see this, not to quote too much Disney, but this circle of life that happens, you know. It's profound and it's powerful. And I think that it's meant for us to help us to be better human beings now, but also improve the lives and livelihoods of those who are around us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at the Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.